Welcome to Practical PropTech
with Martin and Tommy.
This is not a podcast where we'll talk about the future far, far away,
but rather how new technology can help us operate,
maintain,
and use our buildings smarter today.
We will discuss the best example from Norway
and from abroad
on how sensors, technology, and buildings connect together.
Let's go.
Do the intro, Martin.
We aren't. So we're another episode in English, Tommy. I know you love speaking English in Practice PropTech, but that's because we also need to take the best into what's happening within our industry from abroad. And this time we're joined by Nicholas White, a co-founder and managing partner of the Smart Building Collective. And you've just been here in Norway to visit Martin from Håton, the developer's Hausmannshus, the first platinum certified Smart Building Collective building in Norway. That's a big achievement.
Amazing, yeah. Absolutely. And it's an amazing building. So anybody who's in the area should go check it out. They're always open and very very willing to show you around.
Did you know that I was actually supposed to be the first building?
That's true.
Yeah. Four or 5 years ago?
Yeah.
I think 2019.
And I look back at that moment as a mistake on my side as well.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah,
I do that kind
of
way.
No, because yeah. I think you were doing very much kind of a crowdsourced of who wants to help build a really smart building
and that's true.
And come with a bit of an investment from your side to do that. And I was stuck in my moment of ways, and I was like, I can't do that right now. I gotta do something else.
But at least you got to join the podcast. And Hausmannshus, Håton have been very good at opening up this building. It's in downtown Oslo. We've already had a lot of industry events there. Actually, I've helped organize two of them already. So it's a fantastic building. And I know you've been singing the praises of this building as well.
And we actually just published a white paper with them. Wow. They also commissioned a bunch of really, really cool content around how they built a smart building. And it speaks very much to them as a company, mm-hmm. Being very open and giving, mm-hmm. Because they didn't have to do that, but they wanted to share kind of their experiences. And we can put that link in the comments for sure, because it's a really cool white paper, and I would encourage people to have a look.
Very cool. Very cool, Nicholas. And I think what's also very cool is that a lot of the former guests in Practice PropTech had also been part of the wider project team. So Eirik Bjørnstad. He's actually one of our top-ranked episodes.
Oh, wow.
Where we're nerding out on protocols.
Yeah.
And he was very active. Were you working with Eirik Bjørnstad on this project?
Definitely, and he's brilliant, right? I mean, I think his praises come very far and wide in the Norwegian market. So, really nice to be connected to him and to learn from him. And we really worked closely together on kind of the strategic blueprint, I would say, of their smart documentation for Håton. So I think we learned a lot from each other.
So when you have your Duolingo level 100 in Norwegian, then you can listen to episode 58 with Eric. And this will be something with 100. So it's a long time ago since we talked to Eric last time.
Yeah.
We should maybe do that again, but...
He's in Papa Perm.
Yeah, he's in Papa Perm. Yeah.
So when you're back from Papa Perm, yeah. Eric, I know you're listening to this while you're pushing this trolley.
Yeah.
We want to have you back.
But I think for Norwegians, I think the first question is like standard. We have VM. We also did something with Reset. But what's like the main difference between VM and... Smart Building Collective.
Yeah, and standard is an interesting question, especially when it comes to smart, right? Like I look at smart building, we all look at it as like, it's a tool set to achieve goals. Mm-hmm. It's a tool set to achieve the things that you're trying to do within your building. And I think BREEAM and WELL and these other certifications, they're very much that goal that you're trying to achieve. Hopefully it's not just the certification, it's actually the sustainability behind it or the health behind it, but you're trying to achieve that energy neutrality, you're trying to achieve the good air quality, you're trying to achieve a healthier or sustainable workplace. And technology really allows you to get closer to that or to achieve it. But it is, in the end of the day, a tool. And it's about a tool suite or a tool set to achieve those goals. So there's different ways to get to those goals. And that's what's ultimately a challenge with a certification around SMART, but it's also the immense opportunity of letting those dynamic stories come out and learn from each other and share what we're trying to do together. Because energy, as an example, right? There's many, many, many different strategies of getting your building to an energy neutral or an energy positive building. But which strategies are the right ones for you, mm-hmm. and which ones do you choose? Yeah, that's context driven, very yeah. much.
Yeah. I talked to Martin, who is the kind of the technical chief for this project in Hotton, and he's been very passionate about this project as well. But before he got in touch with you guys, they were like thinking, okay, what should be the vision of this building, and should we really be calling it SMART? And I think that his ironic question was, is it smart to call a building SMART? Because SMART is a term that's been misused, misrepresented, kind of applied to many things that are not necessarily smart in any way. And how, if we call it, we can't just call it SMART ourselves, we need someone else to help us call this building SMART.
Yeah.
Would you say that Hausmannshus is SMART?
Absolutely. But I second those sentiments about the word SMART. And, you know, even though our company started with SMART Building as the name, it's challenging, right? Because I think we're still early in the process, early in the market. And there's a lot of trials and tribulations and people falling over it and trying to figure things out and maybe getting burned on a wrong solution. And all of that is being branded as SMART. So that's the legacy that we have to kind of deal with. So it's a loaded question. But one of the things that I absolutely adored about the Hathon project was that Martin said, you know, if we set out to build a smart building, we're gonna struggle, we're gonna suffer, mm-hmm. because what is it? What does it mean? Yeah. And all this variance. What they did is they said, we're gonna set out to build the best possible building we can build. Mm-hmm. And then when we got there, we turned around and we said, wow, I think this is quite smart. And yeah. then you say, how do I validate that? Yeah. And how do I check my work and those types of things? But I think that is a really fundamental, philosophy that I would like to see more and more in the real estate industry.
So like, why did you start SBC? What's the history behind this?
Yeah, it's a nice story. My co-founder and I, we started another company first, which was called Lab, Learn, Adapt, Build, which is all about research and transformation in the workplace. And it was all about health and well-being, burnout. Why are people falling over at work? Yeah. Why are they getting sick? These types of things. And then Elizabeth, she's really the research arm. She's been studying this stuff for a long time. She got an amazing opportunity with CBRE to do a longitudinal study on what is the impact of the built environment on people. Mm-hmm. So we built a living lab with them, took a ton of time and money and resources to do. The research, the data that came from it was amazing. And then when we left, that living lab died because there was no one there to continue to use that technology, which was a complete bummer, right? Because all that technology was there, it was paid for, but there was no process.
But the kind of things you were looking at in this lab were like, what's the impact of air quality?
Yeah, absolutely.
For productivity, for well-being.
Yeah. What's
the? I even know that you were changing out the different artworks, like with changing
so
up the scenery,
or
even the planting, you know, really going scientifically how to design the most optimal space, indoor space, for work, for well-being, for happiness. So really an angle that wasn't driven by technology, but driven by that human experience, right?
Yeah, and then the data was helping us to come to those, you know, results and conclusions. And then what was so amazing was that it led to a next study. You know, we did a big one with Booking.com, which was even bigger because they were about to build this massive headquarters in Amsterdam. And they said, let us take a research approach to making that happen. Mm. So did a bigger study with them, and then we did one with GSK, and every time the same thing happened, right? Extremely expensive and challenging and political to get it put in. Study is amazing. The data power is clear. And then the living lab would die because there was no one there.
Can you give us some, take the Booking.com offices. Booking.com is a huge company based in the Netherlands.
Yeah.
I think everyone's used the website. But when they were building their HQ, what kind of intervention, what kind of design choices were made on the back of the research that you guys have done? Can you give us some practical examples?
The entire campus was designed from a sound perspective. So the biggest challenge that they found in the research, and actually you should invite Elizabeth onto your podcast because she can tell you way more about this stuff, but the research had so many dynamic departments kind of crammed and working together, like developers building the booking.com platform, of course, and then you had the business developers or salespeople, and those people all being in the same space was making people crazy. Mm. And it's
the classic open plan sound. Office,
and
right?
Sound is the number one complaint in offices. Mm. So, and then when it gets too quiet, and this is what we're learning in research now, too quiet is also not good. Right? You need a certain level of stability and sound in your space, and you're okay with that. Mm. But so they built that whole office on soundscaping and sound design and these types of things. But so we started asking our questions about, you know, where is there a standard of smart that we can plug into and do this research faster, more efficient, and more collectively. You know, how cool would it be if you had five buildings that have a pretty similar architecture in smart technology, similar functionality, and then you can say, let's do a research with the five buildings and study what's going on and what are the differences, and we can start getting closer and closer to the truth. You know,
so you were missing a way to reliably call and certify or label a building smart.
No, we were missing a access to data and access to organizations and companies that were open to exploring the challenges we're all facing, right? Like the certification is interesting to market your building or to sell your building, to explain things to people of what you're trying to do with it. Mm-hmm. But actually, our real, if you ask us what our motivations are, it's to improve work, it's to improve sustainability, and to help as many people in that process as possible.
So we see one big driver in the Norwegian market at the moment, which is bank and finance. Do you see, and they are really pushing like energimerking, which is the energy marking of the buildings.
Yeah.
They're also starting to push like BREEAM NOR, which is a Nordic standard of the BREEAM. Do you see also this standard being supported by banks and finance institutions in the future because the building will be more future-proof, it will be a safer investment, or is it more for the people inside of the building?
I think absolutely yes in to your answer, but it requires us to truly illustrate and prove the value of the different aspects that are being assessed, you know, and that work is happening now for sure. But it's, you know, holistically for smart building. I was listening to a podcast this morning, or we were doing a session with one of the professors we work with about ROI of smart. And one of the questions was like, most smart buildings, you know, that have a return of 10 years or something like that. And he's like, you can reduce that down to 2 years very easily if you just look at it holistically. If you look at your energy consumption, you look at your financing, you look at your health and well-being and your ability to charge more, you know, you can get your returns much quicker. But it requires a really structured and strategic way of analyzing all of those things. And when we can do that, absolutely, it'll be an amazing tool, not only for buildings, but also for solutions, right? There's a huge push in the industry for offsets and these types of things. If you can prove that your solution or your building is doing things, you can really move the green line, I guess you would call it.
There's a very, very strong fundamental human driver that's very important within the real estate industry, particularly Norway. And we use an abbreviation for this very human drive. It's called FOMO, FOMO.
And I think of missing out.
But there's also a fear of being first. So now Martin has taken that kind of risk. He's been the first in Norway. And I think a lot of property owners now, they're like, oi, okay, we can't be missing out. tell, like, what's the, this is the first building in Norway. Have you started those conversations with the next property developers? Are there buildings that are curious about, okay, how can we take part of this and also help leverage the value that comes from the Smart Building Collective?
More and more. Yeah. You know, I think you're absolutely right. We are in a very conservative industry. We are at the early stages of smart in that industry. If you look at the product or the market life cycle, you know, we're still very much in the early adopters and innovator stage. Mm-hmm. And the challenge is that the solutions and the certifications and the industry, they're all moving at the same time. Mm-hmm. So it becomes really quite challenging of how am I gonna do this? And there's the sales cycle is incredibly long. Yeah. You know, we've been having discussions for years with some developers.
Because how early in the design process would you typically get involved with the building?
So we're being asked early and earlier in the process, mm-hmm. But we refrain from kind of giving you the design because that wouldn't make sense, right? No. That we give you the design and then we certify our own work. That's not going to work. No. But what we can do is we can give you the criteria or the research backed aspects, and then we can turn to the collective, which is full of amazing solution providers, consultancy firms, all that have track records of projects that they've already delivered, and you can put a couple of them around the table. So occupancy, as an example, we have B-Grid in our ecosystem, and we have Ubiquisense, and we have Haltian, and we have, you know, different companies that
disruptive technologies.
We don't have disruptive technologies, but if they're listening, they can
episode
get in touch.
37
for sure. Yeah. But so instead of going down the rabbit hole with each one of these suppliers on their marketing strategy and what they're trying to sell you, why not put them around the table and say, okay, before we even talk about solutions, let's talk about occupancy management. What do I need to be thinking about if I'm making the decision to do occupancy management? And then it says, oh, I really liked what Haltian said. You know, let me follow that track, or you know, I liked Ubiquisense.
Because that's the key word here is it's called a smart building collective, and it's also you do also gather that community of solution providers and consultants that help you achieve a smart building. So what does, if you're a supplier, if you're a technology provider to buildings, how there's also a certification, because you mentioned these specific companies, right? Well, what does that process look like?
So we certify buildings, solutions, and service providers all against the same framework so that they can speak the same language with each other. And if you dive into the service certification, what we say is, okay, what do you consult on? Because right now you get a smart building consultant and it's like, okay, well, talk to me about cybersecurity.
It's like, is Eirik Bjørnstad, is he certified? Do we have any consultants in Norway certified?
No, okay. But that's for companies. So there's also... Okay.
Personal. It's not like Eirik Bjørnstad is stamped.
So we also have an assessor program. Okay. So the building certification is peer review and the assessor, so that's a different story.
But back to the suppliers.
For the suppliers, for the service providers, we say, you know, if you say, oh, I'm a smart consultant, then we say, oh, yeah, well, consult on cybersecurity. It's like, oh, I don't do cybersecurity, you know, I do user behavior, you know. And so what we need to do is figure out actually what's written on the box for these providers. And then we say, do you have a preferred technology that you use for those aspects? Mm-hmm. Are you happy with those technologies? And if you're not happy with them, do you want to put them under pressure? Because here's a couple other technologies. And where you don't have technologies, here's a bunch of technologies you can use and learn from.
You are located in Amsterdam, right?
Yeah.
So if we have any suppliers, census company, we have building owners, if anybody wants to reach out to learn more about SPC, how do they reach you and how can they set up a meeting to learn more and see the possibilities?
Yeah, we're definitely accessible, but smartbuildingcollective.com is a good place to start. And our LinkedIn page, smartbuildingcollective.com/certification, that's definitely.
And of course, your LinkedIn profile.
And mine, Nicholas White, you can reach out anytime.
I think we will also put that into the show notes as well.
Yeah, I think we also have to be friends on LinkedIn.
Yeah. We are for many years.
We just met for the first time face to face.
Yeah, I was not expecting to be like, I feel smaller than I'm actually are because you're pretty high. And when we had a meeting, we were like tall.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the Norwegian English again. Yeah, yeah, but when we met in, I think it was 2019, I was actually checking up. Yeah. It's very strange meeting somebody for the first time after video conversation because you're at the same height.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we've gone through COVID since then.
Yeah.
You know, we met before COVID
and, this was
and then
actually before.
We went through all of that.
That's insane.
Yeah, it's incredible.
So we actually did video calls before COVID.
Yeah. Okay.
Had to be Skype or something then.
Yeah.
So we're, I think there are two call-outs in this episode. Let's get, see if Disruptive wants to join in that the ecosystem of occupancy solutions within SBC. And also, you're looking for building number two in Norway. And
that's
can
right.
they beat platinum? If the Hausmann's Hus is platinum, is there a precious metal on top?
Well, what's interesting, right, is that the benchmark is always moving as well. Mm. So will Hathon keep their platinum is a good question. I think they definitely have every intention to do so.
I know Martin is very motivated to keep it.
How often is that being reassessed? How often?
So one of the things that maybe I'm pushing the industry a little bit to change in a way is a lot of these certifications that ask you to recertify every year or every 2 years. I'm not a fan of that model because it says, you know, the work that we just did doesn't count anymore, and you know, let's pay again and start again. And for us, we think that certification is interesting at certain moments, right? You're either trying to sell your building, or you're trying to lease it again, or you're trying to check your work. Or you want to see how the benchmark has changed and what I can learn from the new benchmark. And so we've launched recertification on demand.
Cool.
Meaning that when you feel like it's necessary, when you need it, that's when you trigger it. And then you can trigger some new stories and do a new white paper, you know, write some new content about, you know, what's changed, what you've learned, you know, these types of things.
I think... Lastly, we need to thank you so much for taking the time to join another English version of Praktisk PropTech. My name is Tommy.
I'm Nicholas.
And my name is Martin. And you've been listening to
Praktisk PropTech.
Thanks. Really nice.
Let's finish off with a happy selfie.
Okay, let's do it. Happy or sad? No, happy. Okay.